Hello and welcome. This is Couples Counseling for Parents, a show about couple relationships, how they work, why they don't, what you can do to fix what's broken.
Here are our parents,
our dad, Dr. Stephen Mitchell,
and our mom, Erin Mitchell.
Hello and thanks for joining us today on Couples Counseling for Parents. I'm Dr. Stephen Mitchell.
I'm Erin Mitchell.
And on today's show, we wanted to very specifically address the school shootings that have happened in Nashville and Denver, the most recent ones that you've been hearing about on the news. And then also specifically, like, how do you and your partner talk about that? How do you talk about that with your kids? Basically, like, what do you do? Because, you know, this is obviously something that, you know, the whole nation is talking about and impacts everyone. You know, obviously those who were specifically in those situations, it impacts them very differently than it does, you know, someone like Erin and I. But it still requires something from us. And so we wanted to, you know, just try to give some help you know, how you can talk to your kids and how you can, as partners, talk about these things and communicate effectively too.
So one of the reasons this seems like such an important topic is because moments like these, the aftermath of horrific tragedy, mm-hmm. Can really turn couples together and or really tear them apart.
Yeah.
And definitely, like Stephen said, if, you know, sort of the closer to the inner circle you are, I think obviously the impacts are different. But the thing is that no matter how far away you are, the impact on you can be real too.
Yeah.
And that can be really challenging for couples to understand, you know, like, why am I feeling this so intensely? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or why are you feeling this so intensely? And I think we just want to create the space to know that when activating things like this happen, because that's the thing, there was a national tragedy that happened yesterday, and it involved kids. Yeah. And for me and Stephen, we have a 9-year-old, and 3 9-year-olds died.
Yeah. And also, in all honesty, we know people in that community just from, you know, relationships that we've had previously and things like that. And so that feels really connecting to the other school shooting that you've heard about in Denver. Actually, there were 2 school shootings that happened in Denver. You know, we live in Denver, and that
that high school, but we shouldn't know people.
Yeah, that high school is not too far from our house, and so there are, you know, obviously things that are really impacting how we experience this. But even like you said, like 9-year-old kids, you know, like there's a lot of 9-year-old kids in the world, and you might be a parent of a 9-year-old kid, and so hearing about these things,
or just a kid, that is a specific to me, but it doesn't have to be. But yesterday, I mean, when they finally came out with the age of those kids that had been killed, I just couldn't stop staring at my 9-year-old. And it did feel different than our other 2 kids. But I mean, it wouldn't have to.
Yeah, yeah, no.
So I think what I want to say is, if you're feeling impacted, if you're feeling activated by this, you don't have to be able to explain why.
Yeah, just acknowledge it. There's not a, I think that, and that's the first thing, you know, that I would say about this whole idea of grief and loss. And when these things happen, I think so oftentimes we're impacted. We feel something. It reminds us of a story. It reminds us of a past grief. It reminds us, you know, like you said, you're looking at your kid, you know, thinking about, oh no, you know, you know, you're at the school drop off and you're afraid, you know, whatever it is. You don't need to try and rationalize it and make sense of it. What you need to do is just acknowledge that it's there and that it means something. It means something important.
I think the other thing that feels really important in this conversation is, if you aren't having that
right
reaction, that is okay too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people well, understandably, right? We're all impacted differently. We all have different stories. We all have different levels of connection. We all have different griefs, different losses, different everything. We have entirely different stories, every single person. So of course, something like a school shooting lands differently for all of us.
Yeah. And so if you're in a partnered relationship, one of you might be feeling very impacted and the other might not. And so even that is a place where disconnection can occur. Like, you know, why are you making a big deal about this? This, you know, this didn't happen to you.
You don't even know that.
Or, you know, on the other end, like, you know, how can you not be impacted by this? You know, what's wrong with you? You don't have emotions. Like there doesn't really need to be judgment about those things, just a recognition of, oh, we're having a different experience. And that's fine.
That is fine. That is also hard.
Of course.
Yeah. Because what we're looking for so often in our partner is someone to make us feel okay.
Yeah. Sameness is what we often look for.
Yeah. Very often sameness, or at least comfort or connection in the midst of it. And sometimes feeling different about something means, oh, we can't connect on this.
Yeah.
I think of your PhD, honestly, and this Stephen wrote about a couple's experience of infertility and miscarriage or pregnancy loss. But so many of these things
is about grief and loss.
It's about primarily. Grief and loss, and about how sometimes there can be like moments of connection, and then that makes the disconnection feel so much more intense. Like, wait, we were doing this together. Like we really shared a moment, and then now that's gone. Now you've left, and now it's like, it's time for you to be okay now too.
Yeah. And so I think the goal is not to judge your partner for any difference, but simply to understand. You know, if your partner is feeling an immense amount of grief or loss, or is feeling impacted by these things, to be
tremendous empathy. I know, I just cannot stop thinking about the parents at that school.
Yeah.
And the other side of that is I've worked in a school and I cannot help but think of those kids, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was happening for them and what that was like and what these subsequent hours, we're like at a day now, have been like for them.
Yeah.
And that is not me. That is not my personal story. That is not me thinking about like, oh my goodness, what if it would have been my kid? That's me saying like, what is this like for them?
Yeah. I think that's part of your humanness, for sure. And
but that is how it is impacting me.
Right.
I mean, I can feel it in my throat just talking about it.
Yeah. And it's impacted me differently. You know, most certainly there's a sadness there, but I think that, I don't find myself going as deep into like imagining some of those things that you have. And I think that, you know, again, the idea is not to judge one another's response, but just simply to say, okay, this is what's happening for you. Help me understand. Like, okay, you're feeling this immense empathy, or you're feeling afraid, or it's bringing up some other grief. You know, that like, you know, this, you know, you could be thinking about another loss in your life, you know, and you're like, this, that's not even related to a school shooting. But why, like, there's no need to judge that. Just simply help me understand, like,
what
tell me
what
you're, yeah, what mm-hmm. you're, what are you thinking about? And from the other end, I mean, I think, Aaron, you've even asked me this question. You're like, I don't understand, Stephen, how you are processing any of this.
I just said, can you tell me what you are thinking?
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. what are you thinking about? And that's a much more helpful question for me, because we are handling it differently. And I am thinking about things, and I'm thinking about them in a different way.
If you've listened to our podcast ever before, we talk about regulation styles or attachment styles, and Stephen is a more internal processor, internal regulator. Like, he thinks first inside, and it may never come outside. And this was one of those things where, like, I would like some access.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any to share? And honestly, you said no, and then you thought about it, and found you did.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, so again, like, I think just from the couple side of things, recognizing that your experience is the experience you're having, it's important to acknowledge what it is. Either, you know, maybe if you're not feeling very connected to all that's happened, or you are, like, just acknowledge what that experience is. Then don't judge one another for that experience, but be curious about what's going on for one another and try and understand that.
Or I mean, honestly, and I think ideally, right, we could try to understand, you don't really need to understand someone's experience.
Yeah, you don't need to get it.
How mm-hmm. to be able to be present to it.
Yeah.
So great if you can understand it. If not, though, just be with your partner in yeah. it, yeah. period. Like, yeah. and then share, and, you know, the mutual flip.
And I think stereotypically, I mean, there's a lot of different reactions, but I think it could be easy to get stuck in a conversation of you're being too emotional or you're being too robotic and disconnected. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, don't do that. Don't judge one another in those ways. Just accept that it's a different experience. You don't need to criticize one another because you are not the same. And like you said, you don't even have to get why your partner is quote unquote having, you know, emotional response or quote unquote having more of a disconnected response.
Which is also, by the way, an emotional response.
Yes, exactly. And so it's much more accepting one another and just being curious with one another about like what's happening for you. And also noting that when you ask those questions, your partner might need some time to respond. Maybe
I have lots of words to say, mm-hmm. But it takes me longer to get to not longer. But I think it would probably take us about the same amount of time to get to what we're actually
saying. You just have a lot of words. I have a lot of silence
to get there, yeah. And you don't know until yeah. you know, and then you say something. Yeah. But really, it's about the same amount of processing time.
Yeah,
There's just a lot more noise coming out of me. The other reason I think this is
I was also just going to say, like sometimes to like asking your partner questions is helpful. I mean, you, Aaron, you've asked me some questions about like, I mean, even just simply, you're like, hey, did you tell your brother, about what happened, and you know that in a tertiary way you knew some people, you know, who were there in Nashville. I was like, no, I didn't really think to do it, but then I thought about it. I was like, yeah, that would be a good idea to tell him. He would care, and
he could care for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that I necessarily thought about doing, but because we were able to have some questions about it and them not be, you know, judgmental, and it helps also.
The other thing that I think is of real importance is parenting in these moments.
Yeah, how do you parent?
Yeah, because, and we have said this, I think I can't even count how many times I've said this, but parenting while you are in an activated state is very challenging. And it's helpful to be able to share your experience with your kids, but really not your process. Our kids don't need us to like work it out with them. That's not, sure. That's not the way that relationship flows. They need us to help them process. And we really can't do that if we are not
attuned to ourself.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. And I think that is one of the benefits of being in a couple relationship in moments like these. If you are able to co-regulate that
right.
idea we've talked about before, which again, doesn't mean you understand where your partner is. Or that your partner understands where you are, but it does mean that you're safe to be able to share your experience. And like, I'd like to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
I don't have more to say. I said everything I had, like, oh, okay. Like, mm-hmm. well, if there's mm-hmm. more, I'd love to hear. But then being able to be that place for our kids.
And I think as parents, and I think, you know, this is obviously a perspective, you don't have to agree with it. But it is a perspective that we support, that when these kinds of things happen, you need to talk to your kids about them. You need to be the one who, there's another psychologist or therapist out there who kind of described it in terms of you need to be the source of this information mm-hmm. for your kids.
And
we really,
sorry, go ahead.
Well, just, we really strongly support that idea.
100%, yes. And of course, this is very dependent on your kid's age and stage in life, and what is appropriate. But we have school-aged kids.
Mm-hmm.
School-aged kids talk about these things. And it's best our kids learn things from us, mm-hmm. because they will make sense of it themselves. And so this way, you know what information has been shared. They can tell you if they've heard other things, but they know then also they can talk to you. And like, this is an open conversation. So one of the things people love to say out there is in age-appropriate ways. And I think that is the most endlessly confusing thing.
What does that mean?
And I think, you know, depending on your kid's age and if they are in school and if their school is talking about this, but a lot of kids are getting, you know, they have drills for this in school now, or at least here in the U.S. And being able to be someone they can talk to matters.
And I might say age appropriate, you know, that is confusing. I might use the terms more concisely and directly. And all I mean by that is simply, you know, stating the facts, and not like putting a lot of words around it, and then you being able to say, and if you have any questions, you know, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
if your kids are anything like ours, and I know I was this way as a kid too, it takes time. And they come out in different ways, and kids are processing this information. I mean, there's a reason play therapy is a thing. They don't talk much, and sometimes they do, but mostly they're acting this out. They're playing this out. They're, you know, there may be more temper tantrums. There may be more, which,
well,
if you are already activated, there's tension in your house, then your kid has more tension in their body. It can be this sort of heightened on top of heightened on top of heightened nervous system reactions, and just being aware of those things.
Yeah. And I think, again, one of the reasons you say something is because naming something reduces the anxiety of the thing.
Always.
You know? So, for example, we talked to our kids this morning about what happened in Nashville, and sort of our line was, we want to tell you something that happened. There was a shooting at a school in Nashville. And, you know, I think we said, correct me, we said, did we say and six people died, or
no,
did we just say,
we did
and
not.
There's a school shooting in Nashville. And if you want, you know, to ask us any questions about it, please do. And then it was later on.
Hours later.
That one of our kids did ask questions like, did people die?
They asked about the shooter.
They asked about the shooter, what happened to them. Mm-hmm. And again,
if people died. And that a long time in between questions, mm-hmm. another one of our kids asked questions and then
said, I don't want to know anymore.
And then walked away.
Right. And so that's what I mean by like as concise and directly as possible with an open-ended invitation. And I think that that's how you can be age appropriate, because we have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 5-year-old. And that was the information. But then according to who they are as kids and their ways of processing, they're able to engage that in different ways. Like you said, like one of ours didn't want to know, one of our kids did want to know. Like,
and that is one of the ways that dealing with your couple relationship is very much like parenting, and parenting is very much like being in a relationship, is that you take the lead. There's no judgment if our kids don't want to know more. There's no judgment if our kids want to know more. There's no judgment to how they're reacting or responding or what they're doing with that information. It's just what they're doing with it. And it is not different just because we grow up.
Right.
We are doing our best to process an unimaginable thing.
Yeah.
Terrible loss of life. And this is one of those ways we do it. And with our kids, we do have to be, the power dynamic is such that we are the adult in that situation, and we are there for them, and we hold our own, and you can show emotions. I cried in front of my kids, but I don't process my grief with them.
Right.
And I am that container for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yeah, and so I mean, I think if you, there's so many different layers here. There's the layers of what's happening for you individually and being attuned to that. There's a layer of what is happening between you and your partner and being attuned to one another. And then there's the layer of how do we communicate this with our kids? And you need all of those to, you need to be thinking about this for yourself. You need to be thinking about this as a couple relationship so that you can provide your kids the container.
And then sort of the last thing I want to say, because I think it just sort of makes sense in sort of the sequence that you just described, is a lot of times people want to make decisions in this place, you know, like, so what are we going to do? And what does this mean? And are we going to send our kids back to the same school next year? What's our school doing? And
right.
I think that it is important to be able to say all of those things.
Yeah.
And a lot of times one partner may not want to address those things. Like, this is an emotional time. Let's not make practical decisions. And I'm not saying you need to make practical decisions, but I think we need to be able to air all the thoughts we're thinking.
Yeah. You need to, I think part of not shutting one another down and part of not judging one another is being open to all the things it stirs. And if one partner has more of a, like, we're not doing that, we're not sending our kids to school, and the other one's like, whoa, that, like, you don't need to get in a competition there. Again, it's that same principle of you just need to acknowledge that these things are present, and you need to try and understand what is the process, what is the meaning, what is happening, and connect over that. And granted, yeah, you got to think about decisions and those kinds of things, but I think more than anything, part of acknowledging one another's response to grief is also acknowledging the questions it brings up and the urges that it brings up in terms of, like, behavior and what are we going to do next and those kinds of things, and not fighting about those things right now.
Totally. That's exactly right. It doesn't mean you need to make any of those decisions right now, but very often someone's reaction to a threat,
yeah,
which is what very many people's mm-hmm. response to this is like, oh, our kids are threatened now.
Yeah, yeah.
Is to want to do something.
Yeah.
And I think the more you try to keep your partner from being able to express what they would like to do, the more heightened that feeling gets, and yeah, vice versa. The more you try to force your partner to feel like, why don't you want to do something? We should do something. The more sort of it would depress that, because
right,
both our nervous system responses are, yeah, honestly reactions.
Well, and I think another thing to just acknowledge about grief, I think there's a truth and there's a reality to, we exist in a social context, and the things that happen in our social context, we are impacted by. I think of, you know, all of the things that happened with COVID. Think about all of the racial tensions and issues that were happening as well before and after, and have been happening, you know, all throughout the history of our country. Thinking about these school shootings, think, like, these, we exist in a social context where the war in Ukraine and Russia, like, these things are devastating, and they, these devastating losses and the suffering and the pain that they bring impacts us as human beings. And, you know, you might not feel as directly connected to some of these things as others, but I do think that it's important to acknowledge that we're human beings and that these things do impact us. And if we're, you know, human beings who happen to be in a couple relationships and our parents, then it impacts those roles in a unique way as well. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be thoughtful of those things. And I think one of the ways that we love one another and that we support one another is to hear from one another in terms of how these realities are impacting us and how we're being touched by grief and what it looks like for us to be connected with one another in the midst of it. And how do we help one another in the midst of it?
I think something that makes me think is how different that impact can be and can look. I think when you said like we exist in a context, I think the context that I think of is the right way to respond to a tragedy. And I mean, well, I'm saying right in quotations, the right way to respond is through tears. You like grieve if you're if you cry.
Sure.
And if you're not crying, then you're not grieving.
Right.
And I think one of the best examples of that is kids. Mm-hmm. Your kids may not cry. And that does not mean that they are not impacted. And I do mean about, you know, whatever their reaction to these school shootings have been, but also just anything.
Yeah. They might check out. They might be distracted. They might be fidgety.
They might be super angry and really reactive. All of that is a good response for their nervous system to get out this stress.
And you're no different as an adult.
100%. Neither is your partner.
Yeah.
And so if you have tears, cry. If you feel like you need to like take a jog and you're not a runner and you're like, why do I need to jog?
Go take a jog.
Yes. Or if it's just like, I need to go sit outside and feel the sun on my skin, do that. But there's not a right way to react. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Even though I think very much the social script is there is a right way. It's to feel sad and you express sadness by crying. And that's very small. That is a very, and that, cause that can be true, but that's a very narrow window into what all is true.
Yeah. And so, you know, what is happening for you? What is happening for you and your partner? And what's happening for your kids in the midst of all of these things? And, you know, hopefully in this you can hear some ways to be attuned to yourself, to be attuned to your partner, and to be attuned to your kids. Today's show was produced by Aaron and Stephen Mitchell. If you're enjoying the podcast, please hit the follow button and leave us a rating. This helps our content become more visible to others who might enjoy it, and it lets us know how we can keep improving the show. And as always, we're grateful for you listening. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Couples Counseling for Parents. And remember, working on a healthy couple relationship is good parenting.